Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, June 29th. Hard to believe. This is Liz Dolan. I'm here in Santa Monica, California, I think. It's been that kind of week. No real idea where I am. I'm in Santa Monica, California, as far as I can tell. Joined on the line by my sister, Julie Dolan, in Dallas, Texas. Julie, how are you?
Howdy, Liz. Well, I'm happy to be with you. I mean, it's officially summertime now.
We're a
full-blown summer. Summertime rules. Just easy living. It's a all good things happen in the summertime. That's what I think.
Well, we're also, it's World Cup fever time.
Yes, indeed.
Right now, as we record this, spoiler alert, the Mexico-Netherlands game is on, and the score is 0-0. So I guess I'm not really spoiling anything by saying that.
Liz, it sounded very official. Spoiler alert. I like that. Okay.
The one thing they did do in the first half of today's game is they called a cooling break, Julie. It's apparently that happens occasionally. I had never seen that before. It's so stinking hot on the field in Fortaleza, Brazil, that they had a little cooling break, just 3 minutes to go cool off. And so I'm thinking of instituting that at work. I think there are times when somebody in a meeting just needs to call a cooling break.
Cooling break. It's a good thing. Yeah. It's very global, Liz. I think you can use it around the world.
Yes.
I think we could use more than 3 minutes here in Texas for cooling breaks, but well, whatever. I have to say I'm loving the World Cup. Liz, I watched it yesterday. Very exciting match with that young new Colombian star, James Rodriguez.
Yes.
Or he's new to me. Okay.
And I like the way they pronounce it, James or something, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I see James. Yeah, I'm confused because I see James on the back of his jersey. And so I was confused
by that too, Julie.
I don't know. Why don't they have his last name? Because it seems like they have all the other players' last names. Is he like a one person name?
Yeah, I'm just like going to say Ronaldo.
I don't know. But anyway, I'm totally loving it, Liz. I all those soccer haters, you really need to just go to your room. You need to take a cooling break, because it's fun. It's exciting. The shootout yesterday was high drama.
It was high drama.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and of course, today, Team USA is not playing. So I am rooting for Team Mexico. Yeah, definitely.
Me too. I am even wearing a Mexican shirt right now, not a Mexican team jersey, but just an actual one of those like white Mexican peasant shirts that one has in the back of one's closet. I put it on in Mexican solidarity today because, frankly, you cannot live in Southern California and not feel solidarity with the people of Mexico. So Mexico, Netherlands, I work in a very international work environment. We have people from all over the world. And even last night, I got an email from a colleague in Amsterdam that was having nothing to do with anything related to the World Cup. But then the last thing he put in the email was that nothing personal against Mexico, but you want the Netherlands to win tomorrow. So, okay.
Just in case you, as an uninformed American, didn't know which way to go on it.
Yes, okay. Didn't have a position on that. But, I work in the U.S. office of a very international company, but the U.S. office also functions as the Latin American office. So I have many, many colleagues who are Mexican, but the number one nationality in my workplace is actually Argentinian. So the Argentines are very excited about Messi and how he's doing and all of that. So it gets very emotional and very complicated when you're just trying to stay out of that's when people need a cooling break. When they come in the morning and everybody's discussing yesterday's game, occasionally cooling breaks are required. And then I did have a meeting, a presentation I had to do one day this week that I had to absolutely be finished by noon Eastern time because that's when the USA-Germany game came on.
Well, I'm glad you have the priorities right at your company, Liz, okay? I mean, really, I don't know why, employers are making people go to work during the USA games. I mean, that really, it seems like a lost cause. Just give them the time. Let them go to the bars. Let them go to, you know, go outside in the parks and watch the game. This is, you know, this doesn't happen every day. And well, I think World Cup fever is good for the globe.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has helped me come to a personal realization, Julie, that the, you know, there are many benefits about working in the television business. You know, it's generally fun. You know, mm-hmm. it's not coal mining, and it's also not curing cancer. It's just somewhere in the middle. It's just fine. But the number one benefit is that when you work at a television company, everyone has a TV in their office, Julie. So nobody in my company has to go to a bar. Everyone just blatantly has their TVs on all day watching the World Cup. And nobody thinks twice about it. So it's really good. You can hear people yelling from their offices when goals are scored. So I like that. Everyone is actually physically at work, but actually accomplishing no work. And everyone's cool with that. So I'm hoping, rooting for Mexico. I'm just looking over my shoulder to see if there's been any score yet.
Because you are in the television business, so you probably have your television on while you're recording the podcast.
Yes, and actually the score now is 1-0 Mexico, Julie.
Oh, okay. That's very exciting.
So
okay.
Mexico scored while I had my back to the TV.
Okay. Well, don't look at the TV anymore, Liz. Okay. Not that I'm superstitious, but it seems like it's working for Mexico. So, Liz, where have you been this week?
As long as we're talking about many countries around the globe, that I have a major bone to pick with France.
Now, why is that, Liz? Because I thought we have all come to some kind of rapprochement with France, that we've now sort of, you know, we have an understanding. We're not France haters. Everyone's eating French fries now. Right. We don't call them freedom fries anymore.
Yeah.
I thought they're back in good graces.
Yeah. No? Yeah. Not well, so no. No, sorry. Okay. That is not to be. Here was my challenge this week. And it was a situation of my own making up to a point. But then France made it a lot worse, right? I would have been fine without the French element of this story.
So that if this had happened in another company, say a country such as Germany or Great Britain, things might have gone differently.
Things might have gone differently. Let me give you the backstory here. So, you know, I work for an international television company, but last year I was also invited to join the board of the company Quiksilver, which is surf and skate. You know Quiksilver. They've been around a long time. So I now serve on the board of directors of Quiksilver.
Very prestigious, Liz. We're proud of you. Good work.
Yeah, which is kind of a cool thing to be a director on a publicly traded company. It's, you know, it's kind of a big deal. But I had to get approval at work to do that. And some companies don't let you do that because it can be quite a bit of work and it's not your job, right? It's quite a bit of work for another company. But I was talking to my boss at the end of the year and he is very, very supportive of me and kind of likes the fact that I have a life outside of just our company. So he said, if we can get the legal department to approve it, then that's fine with me. And his only other request is that if it did get approved, I had to keep it on the DL, Julie. The whole point was you can be a director, but only on the DL. If a lot of other executives find out that I let you do this, then all hell could break loose. And so this is what I've been doing. I am a secret member of the publicly
traded. So you're not wearing any Quiksilver apparel to work?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I even have a code in my calendar where if I have to do a Quiksilver conference call or anything related to that, I just put a Q next to it. So
that's
a pretty good code, huh?
Super duper secret, Liz. I'm impressed. No wonder they put you on the board.
Yes. So, but also one of the reasons Hernan approved this gig is because the headquarters for Quiksilver is in Huntington Beach, California, you know, Surf City, USA. Mm-hmm. And so naturally Quiksilver is based in Surf City, USA, but it's a big, huge global company. And so he said, okay, well, you know, it's right down the road in Southern California. How many board meetings do you have a year? I said, four. He said, Okay. All right. Just keep it on the down low. Go for it. So first board meeting was in March. Just like put the little cue on my calendar. Also as a code to my assistant. So if she's looking for me, she knows that I'm on.
Oh, that you're in Q-town.
I'm on Q business.
Time. Okay. I like it, Liz. I like it.
So the first board meeting comes and goes. All good. Blah, blah, blah. Then after the first board meeting, they decide the second board meeting, my second board meeting, the one that was happening this week, was going to be at the European headquarters. Because
okay.
European headquarters, good. All of the apparel product design is actually done at the office in France.
Makes sense.
Yes.
There's so many surfers mm-hmm. in France. I think that makes good sense, Liz.
Right. Yeah. And Surf City, the surf mecca in France, is along what they call the Côte Basque. So you're talking about the southwestern coast of France, just above the Pyrenees. So it's the Atlantic Ocean, and there are all these beautiful surf beaches there. And the towns are named things like Biarritz, which you may have heard of.
Or yes.
Saint-Jean-de-Luz is actually where the company headquarters is. So it's this fantastic remote surfing spot. And remote is the challenge here. So now I have to get to a remote southwestern French city over and back on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
And then my real job, which is working for the National Geographic Channel, they schedule their board meeting the next day after I'm supposed to be in France. So this mm-hmm. week, Tuesday board meeting, France. Wednesday board meeting, Washington, D.C.
Yes, you previewed this at the wedding when we saw you in Chatham. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no way. Impossible. Mm-hmm. Impossible. Mm-hmm. You'll never make it. Mm-hmm. You should bow out now. you should just throw your hands up and tell one of those two boards that you can't possibly be there.
I know. And I mean, this sounds like a crazy problem to have. I know that it's just like I try to be super responsible to everything I do. And it was just an untenable situation. Right. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was untenable, but I could not think of what to do about it. Because if I told my boss, who told me to do this on the DL, that I wasn't going to be able to make the Nat Geo board meeting, that was not going to go down well. Right.
Right.
So now I'm missing my actual work. But now if I told the board, the Quicksilver board, that I couldn't make it, you know, since the financial crash, they really track board members and what they do on boards, and they want to make sure that that directors are making legitimate contributions to these companies, right? So you actually get rated on your attendance at board meetings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is a thing that people follow. It's like a sport of sorts. So, like, I didn't want to miss my second meeting, and especially because it was all about products, which is sort of the part of it that I know about. You know, what I don't know about is finance.
The high finance, that's you keep that, your hands down.
No. Okay. I'm on the board because I'm a marketing and product person. Anyway, so I search and I find one way that I can get from southwestern France back to DC by lunchtime the next day. And it involved flying late at night to Paris, spending like 4 hours sleeping on the floor at Orly, then getting a plane to London, and then getting a plane to D.C., which got me in at noon, which would allegedly get me to my afternoon meeting. So I think that's the plan I shared with you.
And I thought it was impossible. I even sent you a text providing you with specific language about how I thought you should tell your new board that you couldn't possibly make this meeting, but in 2015 you would be able to. And you didn't respond to my text, may I add. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. So just plunged ahead, Liz.
Plunged ahead, Julie, and it all would have worked fine if it wasn't for France. Because what happened then Tuesday night, so we have the board meeting Tuesday, blah, blah, blah. I feel like I make a contribution, feeling good. Everyone else is staying for the night, leaving the next day. But I'm like, sorry, nope, got to go. I go to the Biarritz airport is like the size of my second bedroom. And so I go there. They only have two flights going out of Biarritz that night. Mm-hmm. One is going to Lyon and the other one is going to Paris. And on both of them, the sign now just says annulé. annulled. My flight has been annulled, Julie, and which is harsh. Annulled just seems really
well. No, hard. Actually, I think it's a very sort of gentle, diplomatic way to lay. You know, to
better than canceled.
Yeah, better than canceled. You know, yes. Somehow that annulled. Maybe it never really existed, Liz. The flight, right?
There was that's possible.
Only meant to be to begin with. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you see, annulled seems like the more appropriate term. Yeah.
Well, the reason it was annulled, this is why it's a whole France issue, not say an Air France issue, is air traffic controller strike, Julie.
Oh, those are so fun. Yes.
So it means it really takes the wind out of your sails because you and I are both international travelers. You can usually scramble and get yourself on another flight, right? Mm-hmm. It can be done. You've done it in many countries. I've done it in many countries. You can do something. But if there's an air traffic controller strike, really getting on another flight, that option has been closed to you.
Right.
Concurrent with this air traffic controller strike, you guessed it, railroad strike, SNCF on strike. So even if I wanted to, like, I actually thought, well, could I take an overnight train to Paris? Could I take an overnight train all the way to London and then get on the flight?
Of course you were thinking that, Liz.
Yes.
I'm sure when you saw that annulled sign, you immediately went into hyperdrive about what you, because you are a road warrior. What are you going to do? Okay.
Yeah.
So no trains,
no planes. I thought about a boat for a second, like, where could a boat get me? And then luckily someone in the French office said the key is actually to drive over the Pyrenees. So remember, I'm in southwestern France, La Côte Basque. That's the Basque country that is sort of French and Spanish. So if I left my hotel at 4 o'clock in the morning and drove up and over the Pyrenees and came down on the other side, the Spanish city you find there is Bilbao.
Mm-hmm.
Bilbao, very famous for the Guggenheim Museum, designed by Frank Gehry, but not a place I had ever visited before, or I didn't even realize, honestly, that Spain was that close. You know, it was like a two-hour drive. So,
all right.
And the person at the office hooked me up with an actual driver, which is helpful.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. Liz, you were not in the middle of the night, like in some little Peugeot heading up over the mountain pass.
My little putt-putt de chevaux up and over the Pyrenees. Putt-putt-putt-putt-putt. And there was another guy, a director, who was in a similar situation. So we were actually fleeing the country together. And there is something very strange about, like, getting up at 3:30 in the morning and leaving at 4 to, like, try to secretly cross the border in the middle of the night.
It's very foreign identity, Liz. I think I've seen that scene. Yes.
Yeah, so I go up and over the Pyrenees, get to Bilbao. Did not see the museum, FYI. The sun wasn't up yet, so no chance. Even scanning the horizon for the famous Frank Gehry building, nope, it was still dark. Get to the Bilbao airport. Then the flight I have to get on goes to Frankfurt. And there's just something psychologically about going backwards. Have you ever had that feeling? Like you're trying to go east, but you have to go west to go east or vice versa? It just seems wrong.
Particularly when you're in a time crunch, Liz, when you are working against a clock where you're trying to get to Washington, D.C. by noontime to go back in the other direction where you're probably losing or gaining another hour seems wrong.
I know. It just seems so wrong. But this is where Lufthansa could do for me what Air France, or really all of France, could not do for me. So I go Bilbao to Frankfurt.
Okay.
The Frankfurt airport is extremely large. It is a hub for much of Europe, as you know.
Yes, I've spent a lot of time in the Frankfurt airport. Yep.
And what they do with the Frankfurt airport is they really isolate all of the flights going to the United States. Mm-hmm. There's very heavy security at the Frankfurt airport. And so what they've done to enhance that security is they've put all those flights as far away from the other parts of the airport as they possibly can. So the terminal that the flights to the United States go out of is actually called Terminal Z.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right? Yes, indeed, Liz. Yes, so, it goes well when you're on the queue time.
Yes.
That you would be going out of Terminal Z. Continue.
And of course, because I'm on the putt-putt from Bilbao, little planes are coming into Terminal A. So you're landing in Terminal A and you're going out of Terminal Z. And when you're changing planes at these big European airports, you have to go back through security. It's mm-hmm. not like you've already been approved. You're somehow getting outside the line again, and then you have to come back through security. So I did this complete O.J. Simpson through Frankfurt Airport. I had very little time to make this connection. And it was literally one of those deals, Julie, where I walked on the plane and they shut the door behind me. Like I was the last person they let on that.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already Framebridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you are going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leon here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leon, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
shudderingly at your ability and your luck, because that was a crazy plan.
It was a crazy plan. Plan A was crazy to begin with, and then the quick recovery time, my gratitude goes to Joelle in the French office, because it had not dawned on me that Spain was the solution to my problem. But Spain, so thank you, all of Spain. I'm sorry you're already out of the World Cup, because I was ready to start rooting for you. Miraculously, I did make it to Washington, D.C. at lunchtime on Wednesday. I was exhausted by the time I walked into the office, and people were just coming back from lunch. And I was like, I don't know about you losers, but I've already been in four countries today. So I don't know. I don't know what you've been doing all morning, but I have been in France, Spain, Germany, and now the United States. And it's just, and lunch hour is just finishing. So there you have it. It was a miraculous, by the skin of my teeth, sort of recovery. And it is why, when people talk about the glamour of international travel, I beg to differ. It's just, there was even a point in the Biarritz airport where I was talking on three telephones at once.
Way to go, Liz. I knew you would. I mean, most people would have just given up. They would have just, like, thin air traffic controller strike. We can't do anything. They would have gone back to the room. That's it. Okay. But not you, Liz. I know that's big thinking.
Because I was on the DL, Julie. So I couldn't even, okay, this was the hilarious part, and then we can move on. So Tuesday night, when I'm standing in the Biarritz airport, having been annulled, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? I got a text message from my boss, who has now arrived in D.C. for the board meeting the next day, and just texts me and says, hey, what are you doing for dinner tonight? So I can't
Spanish tapas, would you like?
So I can't exactly text back. Well, I may not have mentioned this, but I'm in France. See you tomorrow at lunchtime. So I just said, sorry, not going to be able to make it. I said, not getting in until tomorrow. But I left it very vague, because at the point where I texted that to him, I really thought there was no chance I was going to get in at all. Like, for that would be it. That I would just be a no-show for the board meeting. But anyway, that's what it's like out there on the road. And I appreciate your supportive texts all the way along.
That, I was rooting for you, Liz. I really wanted you to succeed. I didn't know how you were going to do it. When I heard you went south, I was like, oh, brother, that seems it.
Go south and then go east, when what you want to do is go north and go west. It just is wrong.
Lufthansa is a very fine airline, and I'm proud of you, Liz, that you did it. Mm-hmm. So you must have seen, how many movies did you see on your, like, trip around Europe on your way to Washington, D.C.?
Well, people have posted on the Facebook group that they've done that. So I was listening to the very end of the long book I had downloaded that was ironically called Endurance, about Shackleton's exploration of Antarctica, Julie.
Yeah, he has nothing on you, Liz.
I felt like he had a better chance of getting home than I did at a certain point. But then I did get in quite a few movies. I as I was thinking about it, I feel like there are movies that you watch on airplanes that you don't watch in real life. Right.
I call them airplane movies.
Yeah.
These are movies where if you're trapped in a seat, you know, and you can't get out, you'll watch it. And it's not so bad. It's a little bit entertaining. You have a lower standard, I think.
Exactly. I feel like these airplane movies fall into three main categories. One, for me, the kinds of things I watch on an airplane. I watch comedies that I never would have paid to see, because most TV show comedies are funnier than most movie comedies, right? So I'd rather watch Veep or Parks and Rec or something like that than your average kind of rom-com or that shows up in a movie. So I very rarely go to see a movie that's a comedy. Mm-hmm. Then on airplanes, I also watch documentaries that you meant to see, but you never quite rallied, and it only played at the theater for like 6.5 days. So you never quite got there, but you know, your better instincts, you knew that it would be something you might find interesting. So I watch documentaries, and then I usually watch poorly reviewed action films, you know,
So way to go, Liz. Now, what's your thinking about those?
Because I think poorly reviewed action films, obviously, if they were bad on the big screen, they're really bad on the tiny screen. Right. But you can at least get the gist of the story and you can find out who all these action heroes are, because I would never normally go to one of those. So the one in that category that I watched was Shadow Recruit, about this CIA agent. A lot of it takes place in Moscow, Julie. Have you seen it?
I have seen it, Liz. I've seen it twice. And I wouldn't call it poor. Well, maybe it was poorly reviewed. I thought it was not bad. And I thought Kevin Costner is kind of making a comeback in this movie.
Yes.
He's really quite good in it, Liz. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agreed. It could be because of the low oxygen level on an airplane, but I actually enjoyed Shadow Recruit. Then the comedy I watched was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
I'd never watched that movie. Okay, go ahead.
You don't ever need to watch that movie. It was too bad because I like everyone in it. And like Kristen Wiig is one of the stars and she's so great and everything. And it was too gimmicky. It was not like a full on, I don't know. So Secret Life of Walter Mitty, it kills 3 hours or 2 hours, but not really worth seeing. And then the documentary I saw is a documentary that got a lot of great reviews when it came out a couple of years ago. It's called Exit Through the Gift Shop. And it is a documentary about street artists, mainly in Los Angeles, but Los Angeles, London. So Banksy is the most famous of all of these street artists. So I thought it was just a documentary about Banksy, but it's actually not. It's really a fascinating story about the street art scene in Los Angeles and this obsessive French filmmaker who decided he wanted to find out all the secrets of the like late night graffiti artists and all of that. And he turned out to be more than a little nutty. And so Banksy is in it, but you know, he always protects his anonymity. Shepard Fairey, the very famous artist Shepard Fairey, is in it. Anyway, it's not something you would ever think you would like, that you would go out to a movie theater and, you know, line up for that necessarily. But if you have Netflix or Hulu or something, it's really kind of fascinating about why these artists, and I know some people dispute the term art because they see it as just sheer vandalism, but some of these works are quite beautiful and quite provocative and really interesting. So if you're home, I know you spend a lot of nights home alone, Julie.
So I could actually just sort of simulate being on an airplane.
Yes.
I could strap myself into my couch or my bed, turn on Netflix, and pick out a romantic comedy, a documentary.
and a poorly reviewed action film.
Liz, I'm on my way to Europe tonight.
But Exit Through the Gift Shop, if you like that kind of thing, it's definitely edgier art. It's not the most accessible kind of stuff in the world, but the way the tale gets told in the movie is very, very surprising. And so I enjoyed that one a lot. So those would be my airplane movie reviews from the like 800 hours I spent on airplanes this week. So I guess it has some benefit, the road warrior life.
All right, Liz.
Oh, and then here's the best part, Julie. So I get home. When did I get home? I got home Friday night. And what's here when I get home? But my new couch is here.
Liz!
You remember?
Yes.
I promised on Satellite Sisters it was September, that I was going to nail down the new couch by Christmas, that I was redoing my place a little bit, not massively, but freshening up my look at home, and Christmas was my deadline. Well, I did not make that deadline, clearly, but I ordered the couch a couple of months ago, and when I came home on Friday night, there it was in my living room. And I just have to ask myself, why on earth did it take me more than 50 years on this planet to get a sectional? Like, what could be more awesome than laying on your sectional watching your television?
And it's the right size, Liz? It's
perfect.
The right size. Okay,
perfect.
Liz.
Nailed it on the size.
All right. Because you bought, for the listeners, Liz has a long and a really decorated history of buying lots and lots of couches that don't fit her house or her apartment. Mm. And it's been to the benefit of her brothers and sisters that they have all received lovely, lovely couches. So
some of them too big, some of them too small, but this one was just right. It's Sunday as we speak. And it's still Mexico 1, Netherlands 0 in the game.
Excellent. Excellent.
And yesterday I spent almost the entire day just like laying on that couch, like just enjoying the choices you have of where to lay and what your angle is on the television or how to look out the window. And a sectional means Ferris can jump up and sit right next to me. Which, while we're watching TV, which he could never do before because I was in a dumb old chair.
Yeah, it was a bad setup there.
Yeah,
it
really was. Yeah. So, loving my new sectional.
Good.
And I had complained on the show before about mission creep, that as I improved things, the things I had not intended to improve started looking shabbier. Mm-hmm. So I kept having to like up the ante on other aspects of my home decorating scheme. Mm-hmm. But I had reverse mission creep with the couch too, because I thought I was going to need to replace the chairs in my living room. But actually the chairs that I had stashed in my bedroom look quite awesome with my new living room couch. So saved myself many, many dollars yesterday just by laying on my couch, looking at the chairs, thinking, those are totally fine. I don't need new chairs. So there you have it.
That sounds like a little domestic bliss for you, Liz. And I'm very happy. It's well earned and well deserved, and it's good for you to get out of an airplane seat from time to time
into a sectional.
Yes.
The first airline that introduces that, like that, you could actually book a sectional.
Wouldn't that would be great.
I will take my million frequent flyer miles and hand them to whatever airline decides that's their next big move in passenger comfort. Yep.
Your own sectional.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going.
Oh.
Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what What I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
That's big thinking, Liz.
Yeah.
Liz, you know, actually, there were two businesswomen in the news this week. I know you were in Europe, so I don't know if you saw these stories, but I wanted to get your take on them. First is the Yahoo CEO, Marissa Mayer. Now, you know, she was the young Google executive that that came to Yahoo, and she was going to shake Yahoo up and really transform it. And, oh, by the way, you know, when she got the job, she was 6 months pregnant, and she has a new child, and she also built a fantastic nursery for her child at the Yahoo campus. But everyone else who had been working at home, they now needed to come to work. Okay, so there was that was part of her thing.
She was controversial right from the get-go.
Right, but she is trying to shake it up, and she's trying to really transform Yahoo. And she had scheduled a big meeting, I guess. Oh, in conference, Liz. You know, maybe.
Oh. Not very far from where I was.
Not very far away where you were. And this was a big meeting with the most important advertisers for Yahoo. You know, big names in products and things like that. And the whole purpose of the dinner meeting was that they that these people that are spending a great deal of advertising dollars at Yahoo were going to have more time to talk to Marissa and sort of get her vision for the future.
Nice.
So it seems like a good idea. Everything, you know, very fancy dinner, all set up. One problem. Marissa Mayer didn't show up. She was 2 hours late for the meeting.
Really? Okay. Well, okay, I'm automatically blaming air traffic controllers.
Okay, maybe.
If it was this week, it is not her fault. I'm just going to say that. Not her fault. I have no idea what the actual circumstances were, though.
Okay, well, this, okay, so she apparently overslept. That is what she told. She told, because some of the executives that had come to the meeting actually left. They had been hanging around for 2 hours. She didn't show up. They left in a huff.
Uh-huh.
But her excuse was that she had been up for 20 hours working, and she just had overslept. And that's all she said. But this was in the Wall Street Journal. And so people have been talking about it all week, Liz. They've been saying, well, you know, she is a new mother, and, you know, you get tired as a new mother. But my take on it, Liz, is, I mean, I don't think it had anything to do with the child. I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, she is a CEO. I'm sure she has someone taking care of that child.
Exactly. I'm sure the child was not with her in Kent.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. The child wasn't even with her. So I don't know why people were, like, making this about work-family balance and all of that. But the part that sort of intrigues me is why no one on her staff
woke her up.
What do you think that's about? Do you think they're afraid to wake her up? Like, or like they didn't know where she was, or
that is funny, Julie, because as you were giving me the details, that's not a news story I had heard. I was thinking that too. Like, normally CEOs at that level have like hot and cold running assistants who are, you know, like managing every minute of their schedule and their cars and their this and their that and that. So it's unusual that someone would miss an appointment by a mile, except for, say, an air traffic controller strike.
Again. So she was in the country, so she did show up 2 hours late. But even the people that were hosting, you know, I'm sure there were other people from her company that were there. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they tried to call her. She had the phone.
But can I also say this? I can't recall any experience in the past in, like, business news where the fact that someone was late for a deal, like, yeah, in international business, made headlines of any kind. Like,
that's right.
Why are we making such... People miss appointments all the time. And being the CEO of a big global company is exhausting. So she's clearly not the first person to not quite make it someplace on time.
Right, right. I don't know why, Liz, but do I think they're giving her a harder time because she's a woman?
Yes.
And
clearly.
And that they, you know, that somehow it's because she had a child, that was the reason why, you know, she had been up for 20 hours. I think not. She probably had some kind of wild and crazy travel scheme like yourself, Liz.
Exactly.
She was in some little Peugeot going over the Pyrenees and then
exactly
flying to, you know.
I had no idea I had so much in common with Marissa Meyer. I just, yeah, you know, there we were struggling in France this week. What a hard life we lead.
I know, but otherwise she is such a horrible leader that people, you know, wanted to undermine her. Like, you know, good luck. We're happy you're not showing up. We're happy to embarrass. I don't know, Liz. I'm just saying, but that it made me think of you this week because of that. The other businesswoman that was in the news this week is Mary Barrett. You know, she.
Okay, this one I did hear about. This is unbelievable. Go ahead.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
Okay. In the same way. Okay, we're talking about Matt Lauer was interviewing the CEO of General Motors. You know, the company that makes
the company that made America, I think, is right. What it is, right?
Yeah. It's one of the largest companies in the world. Trucks, cars, vehicles, hundreds of thousands of employees. And, you know, Matt Lauer, who also wore shorts on television the other day, which was really a bad scene, Liz, he has the nerve to ask Mary Barrett, the CEO, well, how's your family doing? How are you doing with the work-life balance?
Right. I saw a clip, maybe it was on Marissa Meyer's Yahoo, I don't know, where he also, like, quoted one of her children, or he quoted something she said about her children. And so it wasn't even like, how's your work life now? It was some very, like, specific dig about that had more the tone of, so how's that working out for you? It was just like, I know the official position on Matt Lauer here at Satellite Sisters for a long time has been negative. And Leanne has led the charge on this.
Yes.
And she has poisoned the well for all of us against Matt Lauer. But with perfectly good reason. I think Matt Lauer proved this week what a doofus he is. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, it's more than a doofus. I don't even know doofus is the right word. It seemed very mean-spirited.
Yes.
It didn't seem respectful. And it seemed like a really idiotic thing that you would never, ever in a million years say to
right.
a male CEO. And
right.
And yet he's defending it because, you know, work-life balance. I think she's figured it out, the work-life balance thing, Matt Lauer. CEO of General Motors.
I know. She already became the CEO. I don't think this is something that she's just starting to figure out, right?
She's not really struggling. She made it to the top, okay?
So she's the one who, like, her dad worked at the company, and she started at the company right after college, and she has spent her entire career there. I think she's figured out how to make it work for her. Working at GM appears to be agreeing with Mary Barra.
Yeah, okay. So those two. And I see that Matt has, they've been, like, promoting it you know, heavily, is that he is going to be, have an exclusive interview with Pippa Middleton. So, you know, I just really, Pippa, okay, well, walk away. Yeah. Walk away. Just really, it's a big mistake. Maybe you don't understand in the cross-cultural world that you do not need, this is a message just for you, Pippa. You do not need to do an interview with Matt Lauer. You are doing just fine all by yourself.
But I think it also shows that Matt operates okay at the Pippa level. He doesn't.
No, not even that, Liz.
Not really operating at the Mary Barra level. So you think I'm underestimating Pippa? Okay, you're right. I know how protective you feel of, like, the whole Middleton family.
Yeah, they're doing just a fine job. She just really does not need to be interviewed by Matt Lauer. Okay? He's going to say something stupid and goofy or, you know, try to make something embarrassing.
Okay. All right. Well, I have to agree with that. Yeah. Yep. I don't think it's in anyone's best interest to ever talk to Matt Lauer. How about that as a policy?
I think that's a good idea. Okay. You heard it here first at Satellite Sisters, which makes me think, Liz, I know you have like a code for Quicksilver, the Q time.
Q time.
Do you have a code for Satellite Sisters or are you just, no code for us yet?
Well, it doesn't compete during the week my time and attention.
Okay.
So I don't need to do that. But as you know, Julie, when I was in France last Sunday, when I arrived, we did attempt to record a show last Sunday. And I failed on my end, technical fail, because I had a new computer that did not have the right software installed on it. So, you know, even this operating on the DL, it had a negative impact on Satellite Sisters, too. So, you know, sorry about that.
Okay. Well, Liz, I have a big question for you now. And it's an unusual question that I'm going to ask you. Normally, I might go to some of the other sisters or three other sisters, but they're not around today.
They're all busy today.
They are all busy today. And it is, I have a crafting dilemma. Crafts, Liz. Yeah, and I know.
Okay, I can see why I was not the go-to sister.
You were really pretty much my last choice. You're my last choice. But there are a couple of reasons why I think you might bring sort of a refreshing approach to this, because you are a big thinker. You're very strategic. You've proven yourself to be very flexible and innovative. Okay. So here is the situation. I understand you've been away, so you have not seen yet. We talked about this. You have not gone through your mail, but you have not seen the absolutely adorable invitation to the baby shower that I sent you. My daughter-in-law, Lauren, we're having a baby shower for her in a couple of weeks, and I handcrafted the invitations, Liz.
Oh yes, Liz, I did. Wow.
Okay.
I'm impressed, Julie. I feel like I should go out into my dining room
right now where there's a huge
pile of mail on my dining room table that I have not even looked at.
I want you to dig it out because it is something. Okay. The theme, I am hosting this, this shower with my, with Lauren's sister and with Lauren's mother. And uh-huh. Lauren's sister actually came up for the theme of the baby shower. You know, you have to have a theme, for things like this.
Baby isn't enough of a theme?
No, Liz. You've got to have a theme. You've got to brand your baby shower. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can understand that. So the theme of this, baby shower is cute as a button.
Mm-hmm.
Cute as a button. And Liz, when you open that invitation, you're going to see it has some very cute buttons on it and that I glued on myself, Liz.
Okay. Really? That's impressive, Julie.
Okay. Well, it is impressive because when I started to glue these on, and I mentioned this because you'll get to it, it provides the background necessary for the question I'm going to ask you, is when I was gluing these adorable little baby buttons on the invitation that you have not opened yet, I actually glued my fingers together with the crazy glue. Okay. My two index fingers were completely stuck together, had to run it under hot water. It was painful. I had crazy glue on my fingertips for like 3 days. I changed and I used Elmer's glue. I think it was very successful. Okay. So anyway, we're having this cute shower. My daughter-in-law is very crafty, as you know it.
I know. That's why I think I'm really shocked that you would attempt anything even the least bit crafty, because your daughter-in-law has a very sophisticated sense of craft.
Yes, she does, Liz. And I am sweating bullets about this.
Sweating buttons on this one.
Yeah, it's just all happening. So So I was in charge of the invitation, got that out. I think that's been successful. But what my daughter-in-law would like to do at the shower, and it's a very cute idea, is that she would like to have the guests that are coming to the shower decorate onesies. Now, you probably don't even know what a onesie is.
Oh, come on. Give me a little bit of credit.
Okay. You know what a onesie
is? I know what a onesie is, yes.
Okay, so...
So she wants to bedazzle some onesies.
Yes, that's the... Okay, good thinking, Liz. You're right. You're with me. Okay, so you see my problem now, because I really see that it can only go one of three ways. That as the Nana, who really is not capable of bedazzling onesies, mm-hmm. I am going to have to like do one at the party. I'm going to have to like, you know, decorate a onesie, and there it is. It's going to be there for all time. Mm-hmm. Nana's ugly onesie mm-hmm. that I made for this precious baby and for future babies, right? Because mm-hmm. my daughter-in-law would never throw away an ugly right. onesie. That I attempted. So that's one. Mm-hmm. Or I could actually get a cute onesie and do some kind of switch and bait at the shower itself. You know,
I was thinking about smuggling something in. Yes.
Okay.
Pre-do it or pre-buy it.
Okay. Okay. Or, this is where I need you, Liz, because you are the kind of out of the box thinker that, or I like just go in some totally different direction and make some very radical onesie, put some statement on it, or do something memorable. But mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm really quite nervous about this mm-hmm. Because she would like to do this as the activity. I want to honor my daughter-in-law. This is, you know, this is something she, you know, loves to do. And I think many people at the party will enjoy decorating onesies.
Sure. Yeah, yes. All those millennials and their DIY skills.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So,
well, yeah, can I just ask a question to really think outside of the box?
Yes.
You're not actually applying things to onesies, are you? That sounds incredibly unsafe.
Yes.
That sounds unsafe to me. I would make the child safety argument that onesies should not have buttons on them. Onesies should not have beads on them.
We're not going to put beads or buttons. Of course not, Liz.
Okay. All right. Good.
But you still can decorate them with fabric paints and things like that. Yeah.
So. Okay. One word. Stencil. Get yourself a couple of cute stencils. Bring those in advance.
Okay.
And then you can just sort of apply paint in very obvious places. That's one way to go.
Okay, Liz. I like
Stenciling.
It's so Martha Stewart of you, Liz. I like it.
I learned that from watching Exit Through the Gift Shop, because that's what these street artists did. There are a lot of scenes of them at Kinko's at 3 o'clock in the morning printing out these huge stencils from the giant printers they have at Kinko's. And then they would apply those to the buildings and apply the paint over the giant stencil and then pull the stencil off and voila, you have gorgeous Banksy statement. So I think go Banksy, Julie. Go.
Okay,
Liz. Get yourself. I think your daughter-in-law, who is herself a curator at an art museum,
yes,
would appreciate some direct cultural reference to the street art scene.
Okay. a lot like your itinerary this past week, this seems like a very dangerous route to take, Liz. But I will.
I'm just guessing nobody else is going to try that as an approach.
Nobody else is going to attempt.
You're not going to be able to out-cute these people. You're not going to be able to outskill these people. This is my policy. You just have to outthink them. Just come up with a completely different concept.
Okay, Banksy.
Or here's another way to go. I think it's totally appropriate for you to decorate. They're in New York City. They live in Brooklyn. I think if you just put Derek Jeter's number on the onesie, you're good. It's his last season, Julie. No born New Yorker should live their life without some homage to Derek Jeter. The baby's going to be born in August, before the end of the baseball season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think pinstripes and Jeter's number, that's the way you got to go.
Okay, Liz.
No, okay. I'm very proud. I'm very proud of that idea. If I attend this event, I'm doing that.
You claim that? Okay. Okay, but first you got to find that invitation.
I know. What city is this event happening? Is it in New York?
It's in New York, Liz. Okay. So again, open the lovely pink invitation with the handcrafted baby buttons on it, and you will see. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. Now that I have a concept, I might actually come.
Okay. Well, Liz, you know, it's been a big week at Satellite Sisters Facebook page. I don't know if you...
I've noticed. Yes, it was. I mean, I was spending a lot of time on Wi-Fi in airports enjoying it.
Well, first thing I want to mention, you know, it is a holiday week coming up. Leanne has posted some holiday recipes, our favorite 4th of July recipes, our mother's blueberry muffin recipes. I think I'm going to make them this year. And then Leanne has this watermelon creation that that she likes to craft for every 4th of July. I think you might enjoy it as well. But a lot of people have been weighing in about being weighed in at the doctor's. Liz, while you were away, I had a little medical emergency with my eye, and I ended up going to an optometrist, but I was saying in our last podcast that, like a lot of people, I was reluctant to go to the doctors. I was doing a lot of self-diagnosis, in part because I didn't want to get on the scale. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is something that a lot of our Satellite Sisters are weighing in on, and for many reasons, doctors need to know what your weight is, and that changing
right.
your weight.
But optometrists don't, or ophthalmologists, don't. Or whatever she was.
Right. They really don't need to know. So, and I think that for many doctors, you could really boost your practice if you got rid of the scale or made it optional. That's what I think.
And so people had comments on that. Okay,
yes,
good.
People had comments on that. People have also weighed in on things that you can do with your dishwasher. Now, Liz, I'm counting on
you. Okay, I heard you. I listened to the Tuesday show. What do you think? I'm traveling the world and not listening to Satellite Sisters?
I hear you are.
So I heard you mocking my dishwashers. Not mocking. You were sort of admiring my dishwasher skills, but worried that I would attempt to, like, steam a salmon at the same time as I'm washing a baseball cap in my dishwasher.
Yeah. Right. I think you can do one or the other. I think that they're, maybe you want to start with Ferris's leashes or something like that. Not that they're dirty, Liz, but you might just want, there's some good things for you to do there. You have quite a few baseball caps hanging around your house. I think you could just load them up on the top rack. People are trying it, Liz, and they're liking it. Okay. Very few people have put their keyboards in the dishwasher yet. Mm. But I'm dying to know. If you put your keyboard in the dishwasher, because that's supposed to, on the steam cycle, you really don't want to put...
Not a lot of water.
But it's supposed to really clean out your keyboards. And also big news this week, Fisher cats been seen in New York City. Now, it's a good news, bad news story.
It is, yes.
We told you about these dangerous and scary Fisher cats that they make a sound like a human, like a girl crying. But the good news is that many New Yorkers are hoping that these Fisher cats will actually eat some of the large rodents that are in New York City. So it could be a good news story, Liz.
Okay. I look forward to seeing Fisher cats roaming the streets of Brooklyn when I come for the baby shower.
Okay. So are you getting on any planes? You going back to France this week?
I am so staycationing over the holiday. Okay. I'm psyched for the 4th of July. It will allow me to address some pressing life issues like area rugs and coffee table, Julie. That's it. Now that I have the sectional and the chairs, what's going in the middle of those? So, and that's about the highest level my brain is going to be able to operate at over the holiday. But I did have a tip for Tuesday tips for you.
All right.
If you don't mind my being so bold, I know you and Leanne do the Tuesday show. I'm a big fan of the Tuesday show, and I know you do Tuesday tips. Mm-hmm. So these are not actual Tuesday tips. These are tips for Tuesday. Because there are two topics that were in the news today when I was trying to catch up on the news that I thought would be worthy of discussion, but not between you and me. I thought the discussion would actually be better between you and Leanne.
Okay.
So I'm not qualified to really comment on either of these two things, but it struck me that when you go to the NewYorkTimes.com and you look at the most popular stories on NewYorkTimes.com today, right now, Sunday morning, number one story, why teenagers act crazy. It seems like you and Leanne could take that on.
Okay. All right.
And then in a related note, the number six story is the trauma of parenthood. So I think... I think those two things are together for a reason. And so I just wanted to put that out there. Just a tip for Tuesday. In case you're, I know you and Leanne cover a lot of social science kinds of things mm-hmm. on the Tuesday show before you go deep on shallow things. Okay. And so Why Teenagers Act Crazy and the Trauma of Parenthood, it's just out there waiting for you two to tackle on Tuesday.
All right, Liz. Well, I look forward to the Tuesday show. Two good topics. I'm sure we'll have something to say about them.
All right. Well, this was fun, Julie, just you and me. It seemed like we dug up plenty of material. We have a Tuesday show coming up. We have hundreds of shows on iTunes, people. So if you are looking for more Satellite Sisters, if you are new to our show, there are hundreds of shows posted at iTunes. Just search on The Satellite Sisters and pick the group that is comedy. We recommend you use the podcast app on iOS. It's so easy on your iPhone. And another app that is super easy that we love is Stitcher. Stitcher is actually something I use when I'm traveling all over the place because you can download the shows to listen later. So even if I'm not like live using up any data, like sitting in a dead airport in France, I can just chuckle and listen to the Tuesday show. So check that out, stitcher.com. And of course, remember audiblepodcast.com/sisters. If you use that, it actually helps us out. You know, the more people we send to that site and that particular link, we get credit for that. So if you want to help the sisters, go to audiblepodcast.com/sisters and try your own free audiobook download. In the meantime, we're the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.